through today. God is still going to, he is, the atmosphere is charged. The anointing is in the house. Thank you, Amber, for ushering in the presence of the Lord. I know we brought him in with us today, but we're not just going to leave today. We're going to deal with some things today. Let the Lord work in our hearts and in our lives today. Amen. Looking forward to next Sunday. It's going to be fun being in the gym and having a meal together. We need the fellowship. So had a good time yesterday. Brother Roy had a good word. And we solved all the world's issues. And even helped the husbands who dealing with things with their wives, you know. So we gave them sound advice. So say, yes, honey, whatever you want. So you just tell me how high and I'll jump. So no, no. God is faithful. God is faithful. Yes, dear, right? Oh, dear. Are we online yet?
Just dear, no,
all right. Oh, my goodness. Well, I want you to hear this word today because, oh, my goodness, Amber. Thank you for those songs today. I always look for a little word that will confirm, and she hit that third song, and I nearly come unglued. And we want to see some things broken. Amen. We want to see some things moved in our lives. And there are some immovable things that are going to be moved today. And there are some unbreakable things that are going to be broken today. Amen. Off of our lives. We've dealt with some stuff too long. And so it's time. Devil's got to give it up today. Amen. God is still on the throne and we've got a job to do. We've got his purpose and will to be carried out in our lives. And so we can't be hindered by all the stuff that comes our way. Amen. All right, so we're gonna deal with it at the end. So, but hear this word and we'll see what God, what he wants to do today. We're going to give him time. Again, the atmosphere is charged. We've had the praise and worship and made way for his spirit to move. And so it's here. The Holy Spirit is here. Holy Ghost is here. And he's shut down.
Lord would say to the congregation today, I'm here to take your petitions. I'm here to take your need. I'm here to heal you today, says the Lord. I'm here for all that you need, says the Lord.
Amen. Woo! I received that today. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being obedient, Brother Tony. Wow. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's get into the Word, see what he has for us here. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. And then he goes on, For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, listen now, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Title of my message is Jesus' own words, have faith in God. Have faith in God. If you consider yourself to have entered the golden years at this point in time, for example, Brother Gary, Brother Charlie, then I'm almost positive you have come to know one thing for sure, and that is life does not exist without problems. Amen. There's going to be a flat tire. There's going to be a time when that little key thing, the battery goes dead, right at the wrong time. Every one of us have had our share of challenges. Can you say amen? And that will continue until we die or the Lord raptures us out of here. Amen? This morning, your mountain may be a broken relationship that has refused to heal. It may be sickness that has lingered despite medical treatment and countless prayers. It may be financial lack that follows you from month to month. It may be disappointment after disappointment. Now listen to this. Doors closing just when you thought your breakthrough had come and that job was yours. It may be fear. It may be anxiety. It might be an addiction or a burden that has silently stolen your joy over time. These are the mountains that stand before people every single day. And yes, I'm here to tell you, they are real. For many Christians, the response has always been the same. They pray, they fast, they cry before God, they ask Him repeatedly to remove the obstacle. Yet the mountain remains before them, weighing them down, affecting the peace, their family, their faith, and even affecting their confidence in God's word and His promises. Yet you have to know the problem is not that God has stopped hearing our prayers. He promises to hear our prayers. He promises to listen when we cry out to Him. But the problem is that many believers have never understood what Jesus actually commanded them to do when they stand before a mountain. Jesus never taught His disciples to spend their lives talking to God about every mountain. In Mark 11, He taught them something entirely different. He taught them to speak to the mountain about their God. When Jesus spoke those words, He was revealing to us how faith expresses itself when it encounters an impossible situation. A situation that's immovable. A situation that's unbreakable. This morning, I want us to examine what Jesus actually meant in Mark 11. Why He spoke those words and how this truth then can transform the way you face every mountain standing before you today. Mark 11 records that Jesus and His disciples, they were traveling from Bethany towards Jerusalem when you read this chapter. And up in verse 12, here's what Mark says. He says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, He was hungry. Jesus saw a fig tree from a distance, and the tree was covered with leaves, giving every appearance of fruitfulness." It gave the appearance that there would be some figs on that tree. And so he approached it expecting to find figs. So Mark explains that he found nothing except leaves. And so what does he do? He speaks directly to the tree, Jesus does. And verse 14 of Mark 11 records it. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. That's what the scripture says. Notice that final statement. It's important. His disciples heard it. The Holy Spirit had inspired Mark to include that very detail because this moment was not merely about a fig tree. Jesus was teaching his disciples. And notice carefully what Jesus did. He did not pray to the Father concerning the tree. He did not ask God to make the tree fruitful again. He did not wait for visible evidence before speaking. He simply addressed the tree. And after speaking those words that we just read, Jesus continued his journey on into Jerusalem. Now, nothing appeared to happen immediately. The tree looked exactly the same as they walked away. Its leaves were still visible. And from every outward appearance, nothing had changed. The next morning, as they passed by again, Peter saw something remarkable. And verse 20 tells us, and again from our text, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. So the miracle had taken place. The process began, though, where no human eye could even see it. The tree had withered from the roots before the visible evidence appeared, and Peter was astonished. But Jesus did not focus there. He did not focus their attention on that miracle itself. Instead, what he did, he immediately began teaching them about faith. Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. And from that statement forward, Jesus explained the principle behind what they had just witnessed. Jesus made one of the most quoted statements in all of Scripture. Mark 11, 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Notice the emphasis here that Jesus places upon speaking. He says, whosoever shall say unto that mountain or unto this mountain. Notice with me, he does not say whosoever shall complain about the mountain. He does not say whoever shall fear this mountain. No. He says, whosoever shall say unto the mountain. Jesus is teaching them about faith, watch this, that is rooted in God's authority and expressed through obedient words that are spoken. Their faith did back then, and our faith today does truly rest in God's promises. Meaning it rests in God's word. We could say our speaking then becomes the expression of our believing. It's important what we speak. The disciples would never forget this lesson because Jesus had connected his words at that fig tree with the authority of faith. The miracle they witnessed was not intended to make them admire Jesus. It was intended to teach them how faith operates according to the Word of God. Also, Jesus was not giving believers permission to speak carelessly. We got to be careful. We can't just speak any old thing out there. He was teaching them, and he was teaching us for today, how faith responds when an obstacle stands directly before them. Understanding what Jesus meant by this mountain is the key then to understanding the entire passage. If we misunderstand the mountain, we will misunderstand the instruction. So Jesus had just finished teaching his disciples through the miracle of the fig tree. And now he turns their attention from the miracle itself to the principle behind it. Again, Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. All right, stay with me. Notice that Jesus does not explain what the mountain is, because his disciples already understood the language of Scripture. The image of a mountain had long been used to describe overwhelming obstacles that stood in the way of God's will and his purpose. One of the clearest examples is found over in the Old Testament in chapter 4 of the prophet Zechariah. And the disciples were familiar with Zechariah's writings. The Jews had returned from exile, and Zerubbabel had been given the responsibility of rebuilding the temple 70 years after Solomon's temple had been destroyed by the Babylonians. The work faced opposition. They faced discouragement and what it appeared to be impossible barriers. And so then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Zechariah to Zerubbabel. Chapter 4 of Zechariah, verse 6. Here's what it declares. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Zerubbabel, you're not going to do this in your own might. It's got to be by my might and my power. And so immediately after that, the Lord addressed the obstacle itself. Zechariah 4:7 says, this is the Lord speaking, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. The mountain represented every obstacle standing against God's will and purpose of that temple being rebuilt. It was greater than Zerubbabel's natural strength. It was greater than his own resources, and it was greater than any human ability. Yet before the power and purpose of God, that great mountain would become a flat plain. You wouldn't see it again. This was never about moving literal mountains now of rock. It was about God removing what stood in the way of his purpose being fulfilled. Again, when Jesus later spoke about saying to this mountain, his disciples were not hearing a strange expression for the first time. They already knew that Scripture used mountains as a picture of obstacles that appeared impossible, unbreakable, unmovable. You did it, Amber. You brought that song. That was awesome. Jesus was now teaching them how faith then responds when those obstacles stand before them. So what about for us today? Every believer encounters mountains. Not mountains of stone, but I'm talking about mountains of impossibility. Some stand before the mountain of sickness. Others wake up every morning facing a mountain of financial lack. Some carry the mountain of a broken relationship. Others struggle under years of disappointment because every opportunity seems to close before it opens. Some live under a mountain of fear and doubt and worry and anxiety. Others fight the mountain of guilt over past failures. How many know that's a big mountain? And yes, these mountains are real. They affect our families. They affect our marriages. They affect careers. They affect ministries. And they all affect a church. Most importantly, they attempt to affect our confidence in God's own word. And this is where so many Christians today unknowingly develop then the wrong response. The moment the mountain appears, they spend all their time talking about it. They describe, how large it is. And they explain how impossible it seems and how bad it looks. And they tell everybody who will listen how long it has been there. And then they go into prayer carrying the same picture of impossibility in their hearts. But praise God, we find Jesus presented to us a different pattern. Hallelujah. Before he spoke about the mountain, he first said, have faith in God. And that statement changes everything because faith does not begin with the problem. Are you hearing me? Faith begins with God.
Yes.
Woo! We have to understand the mountain is not the starting point. God's word. God's word is and should always be the starting point in our lives.
Yes.
True biblical faith is born from God's word. So here goes. It does not rest upon one's feelings, one's natural reasonings, or visible circumstances. Absolutely not. It rests upon what God has spoken in His Word. And then it's that kind of faith that produces confidence in our lives. And confidence always, guess what? Confidence always, always will influence how we speak, Brother Tony. Notice carefully that Jesus did not say believers should ignore prayer. Because immediately after teaching about speaking to the mountain, he continued about teaching about prayer. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He didn't do halfway. Jesus did not separate speaking from praying. He taught both of those. Remember, prayer is how we commune with our Heavenly Father. It's how we present our requests to Him. It's done through prayer. It's how we place our trust in His promises. Trust in His Word. So speaking to the mountain then is that response of faith toward the obstacle that stands against those promises. And you find many believers then have unknowingly reversed this order. They continue praying about something that Jesus specifically instructed them to address through faith in His Word.
Yeah.
So here it is. Faith must find expression through words that agree with Scripture. He was not teaching that our human words possess its own power independent of God. No. He was teaching that genuine faith speaks in agreement with what God has already declared for our lives. Woo. Consider a practical example now. A family surrounded by financial lack. Every month ends with more bills than income. And the natural human response is to continually say, well, we'll never get out of this. I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. There's just never enough. I don't see our situation ever changing. And guess what? It's those words that sadly agree with a mountain.
Yes.
But true faith speaks something completely different. Here comes faith. It first thanks God. It gives God thanks that He is our provider. And then faith acts with wisdom and diligence. In other words, with a direction and the answer that God has shown and what His will should be. And then faith refuses to let lack become its confession. Why? Because God's promises, not the circumstances, become the final authority in our lives. God's word should always be our final authority. So what is a promise that we can stand on here? How about Philippians 4:19? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. All right, let's look at another example right quick. Brandon, I'm trying to keep it under 30 minutes, but I just can't promise anything. Let's just say a husband and a wife have reached the point where communication has almost disappeared. Every conversation becomes an argument, and resentment continues to grow. Many believers simply accept that nothing will change. Others continue praying but keep speaking words that reinforce defeat. Yet Jesus comes along and teaches us another response. Pray for God's wisdom. Pray for His grace. Choose obedience to His word. Refuse to keep speaking words that only strengthen defeat or division. Speak words that agree with forgiveness, reconciliation, and truth and love, because they agree with God's revealed will for our lives. Listen, the mountain may not disappear overnight. The fig tree did not appear different immediately after either. It withered from the roots before the evidence became visible. That detail should encourage every believer, because faith is not determined by what the eyes see first. Faith is determined by our having confidence in God's word. Amen. Why? Because God does everything well.
Amen.
He's never late. He's always on time. He's no respecter of person. What He does for one, He'll do for another.
Amen.
And He turns that bad for good in our lives. The disciples learned that lesson as well. Throughout the book of Acts, they encountered opposition after opposition. Threats did not silence them. Persecution, Brother Tony, did not silence them. Imprisonment did not silence them. Their confidence remained in Jesus, the risen Savior, and the word that he had given them. And that same Jesus calls believers to live by faith today. What did Paul say? For we walk by faith, not by sight. Listen, the mountain may appear great, but the one who spoke in Mark 11 is greater. And what does the scripture tell us? And greater is he that is in where us than he that's in the world. And so the next step is learning then to recognize the mountain before it grows any larger in our mind than the promises of God. Because guess what? The devil is going to make it look so much bigger. Mountains do not always appear in obvious form. Sometimes they disguise themselves. And guess what? One of the things they do, they disguise themselves as facts that slowly become stronger than God's word in our natural thinking. For example, a doctor's report is a fact. Amen. They look at the x-rays, they look at the blood tests. It's all they've got to go by. How many know pain is a fact? I'm not dreaming it when I got pains. Financial hardship is a fact. A broken relationship, yes, is a fact. How many know disappointment is a fact? Persecution is a fact. The Bible never tells us to deny the facts, but it does teach us that the Word of God is and should always be the final authority for the believer. And that's why Jesus never instructed his disciples to pretend the mountain did not exist. He acknowledged that mountain. And what did he do then? Then he taught how real faith responds to that ugly thing. And then, did you know one of the greatest disguises of the mountain is fear? Fear constantly magnifies the obstacle. Yet, watch this. Faith magnifies God. Woo! Fear says there's no way forward. The diagnosis is too bad. But faith says God is faithful to his word. By his stripes, we were healed. Another disguise the mountain uses is discouragement. Discouragement whispers that nothing will ever change because nothing has changed yet. Well, I just haven't seen it with my natural eyes yet. I'm waiting. I believe, but it's. But we have to remember the fig tree. Jesus spoke one day. The visible evidence appeared later. And Mark specifically says the tree dried up from its roots. I believe it started happening when Jesus spoke the word. And where human eyes could not see it at that moment. And that teaches us then as believers not to measure God's work only by what we see in the natural realm. Because you may not see it yet. You may not see it, but he's already working behind the scenes on your behalf. And you got to know he's already in our tomorrows working for us. What did Job say? I don't see God working. I don't see him over here. I don't see him over here. I don't see him back there. I don't see him, but he's back there working. And when he's finished, I'm going to come out of this thing as pure gold. And guess what he did? Remember, he got double for his trouble. How many could use a double right now? Not something to drink. I'm not talking about a drink. a straight shot. The real stuff. Diet Dr. Pepper. Diet Coke. And Starbucks coffee. Black stuff. Another disguise of the mountain is our own words. Uh-oh. And guess what? Our words will reveal what's in the heart. Uh-oh. If faith comes through God's word, then faith-filled speech will naturally agree with God's promises. And the issue is not about speaking positive words for their own sake. The issue is allowing God's word to shape what comes out of our mouths as believers. I can't speak for an unbeliever. All kind of things are there. But for an unbeliever, God will help us. What comes out? Jesus himself said in Matthew, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In other words, our words reveal what has taken root within us. It's part of my prayer every day. Lord, create in me a clean heart. You deal with my stuff now. Still deal with my junk now. I don't want to wait before I stand before you at the throne of judgment. It's going to be too late then. Lord, you deal with my stuff right now. Now, consider what often happens when Christians face a mountain. Sadly, many times, a troubling situation appears, and immediately they gather people to pray. Prayer itself is never the problem. How many know prayer is always a good thing? And the more you can get around you to pray, the better it is. Praise God. The problem comes when prayer is mixed with constant words of doubt and unbelief. They pray on Sunday morning, and come Monday, oh my gosh, well, this situation will probably never change. What did you do? You just wiped out what you prayed about on Sunday. And then they come back on Wednesday night. And pray again. I just need y'all to pray. We just need to pray about this thing. On Thursday, they tell somebody else at the dollar store, I've tried everything, and nothing is working. And then they wonder why fear and doubt continue to dominate their hearts. But we find Jesus taught his disciples to let faith shape their speech. Amen. Jesus presented to us a better way. Yeah. I like the better way, don't you? Yeah. Yeah. That does not mean believers are to never share their struggles. Absolutely. We need to tell people our struggles. It means they are to refuse to allow despair to become their confession. Are you with me so far this morning? So let's make this practical for us today then. Let's get where the rubber meets the road. Suppose your mountain is a broken relationship. Perhaps years of misunderstanding have created distance between family members. Not just a husband and a wife, but how about with siblings that barely communicate without conflict? The natural human response is to keep thinking and repeating, my gosh, there's no hope for this relationship. I don't see us ever reconciling. I don't think this family will ever be able to be restored. And so guess what? Those kinds of words being spoken agree with a mountain. Are you hearing me? But praise God, Jesus comes along once again and teaches us a better way. Hear me in this. You pray then for wisdom on the needs to be said, on what needs to be said. You pray for grace to obey His commands for yourself. You choose forgiveness because guess what? Scripture commands forgiveness. We better forgive. Then your words need to begin to agree with God's truth rather than with hopelessness. Instead of continually speaking defeat, you declare then that God is able to produce what honors Him as you yourself walk it out in obedience to His word. And then in the end, your heart is clean, your motives are right. It's then up to the others, to the other party, to make the right choices. And we can't make the right choices for others. Did you know that? They're going to stand before God like we all are. How about let's consider the mountain of sickness. A believer should never ignore wise medical care. Did you hear me? A believer should never ignore wise medical care. I said wise medical care. How many know there are good doctors who really do care? And there are those who are only there for the money. And they want to keep you tied to the system. Oh my gosh. Luke, who traveled with the Apostle Paul, was himself called the beloved physician. Colossians 4:14. So Luke was a doctor. So seeking treatment, I'm here to tell you, is not a lack of faith. Settle that in your spirit. At the same time, believers are called then to anchor their hearts in God's word rather than allowing fear to become their confession. Don't let fear from a diagnosis rule your hearts. Are you hearing me today? Well, Brother Gary, you're going to be in a wheelchair real soon. You might as well get ready. That's what they told him, didn't they? Look what he's doing today. You can't stay up with him on the golf course. You pray, you trust God, and you thank Him for His presence. You ask for discernment from the Holy Spirit. And remember, Jesus has us in His hands. What do? You declare that any medicine that you're given will work as prescribed with no bad side effects attached. And you'll know, the Holy Spirit will show you. No, you don't need to take that stuff. The Lord will show you. We don't have to be gullible. You continue speaking God's word about His promises instead of surrendering your heart to fear. And guess what? That's not denying reality. That is allowing the Spirit and the Word to govern your response to that reality. All right? How about let's consider the mountain of disappointment. You believed, and I need you to hear me in this, everybody, youngest to oldest. You believed an opportunity would open up for you. Instead, the door closed. And then another opportunity slipped away. And then another one slipped away. And so soon, disappointment comes a knocking and begins speaking louder than any hope that you might have. And so the mountain starts telling you that God has forgotten you. Would you look at somebody and tell them that's a lie from the pit of hell? He has not forgotten us. He hasn't forgotten you. And that is exactly when faith must jump up and answer through the words that we speak. I'm not talking about human optimism. I'm not talking about empty slogans like "Que sera, sera." What will be, absolutely not. I love that show, but that's not reality. You speak with a confidence that God remains faithful even when circumstances are difficult. Keep your faith. Stand on His Word. Lord, I know You have this. I may not see it right now, but I trust in You. Amen. Tell Him what you desire. Tell Him what you want. Write it down. Declare it. Put it on the refrigerator. Walk by it every day. I thank You, Lord. The Apostle Paul demonstrated this repeatedly. He faced imprisonment. He faced persecution. He faced rejection. He faced hardship like we haven't even thought of today. Yet his letters recorded for us in the New Testament continually point believers back to God's faithfulness rather than to the greatness of that mountain. Amen. That is faith speaking. And then there's another mountain that often goes unnoticed. And I'm almost through. It is a mountain of... You might not believe it, but I'm working on it. Maybe another 45 minutes. No, not really. It is a mountain of continual negative confession. Amen. Did you know that some believers unknowingly rehearse defeat every day? I can't. I always fail. It won't work. It's no use under the circumstances. Such and such. My family will never change. I don't see much of a future. No use trying. And on they speak out the negative stuff. Those cow patties are just a flying. You have to know those words do not produce faith at all. They only strengthen discouragement and hopelessness that will lead to despair if those things are not dealt with in our lives. So what's the solution? It simply means that we have to bring our words into agreement with God's Word if we really want to see things change in our lives. Amen. And Jesus' emphasis was never on human words creating reality apart from God. His emphasis was that the believer should not continually contradict with his mouth what he claims to believe in his heart. Well, I believe God can do it. I know that's what His Word says, but under the circumstances, but I'm still scratching, but it's still hurting. The disciples learned this lesson after Jesus returned to the Father. In the book of Acts, of which we're going through right now on Wednesday evenings, it's so awesome. It records that they preached boldly in the name of Jesus, despite all the opposition. They did not allow threats to determine what they would say. They spoke the message Christ had entrusted to them. Their confidence resisted, arrested in the risen Lord. And the same principle applies to us today in our lives. Your mountain does not deserve the final word, but God's Word does. I nearly shouted when she sang that song today. Speak to the mountain before you, exactly as Jesus instructed. Don't speak it with anger, not with human self-confidence, but with a heart established in the promises of Almighty God. Now, there is such a thing as righteous indignation, I'm telling you. How many of you get mad at the devil? You can kick his backside. Amen. That obstacle may be standing and staring you in the face today. Yet you need to remember the promise of God is standing right there as well. And guess what? One of those will eventually give way. The question for us this morning is, which voice will you continue to agree with? Amen. Brother Galen, come on up, brother. I'm getting tired. I'm getting hungry now. I'm almost through. I'll land this plane in just a minute. Maybe a few minutes, okay. Again, what about the mountain standing before you today? Perhaps it's a mountain of sickness. Don't allow fear to become your daily confession. Bring your need before God in prayer. Continue to trust Him. Continue thanking Him for His faithfulness. Continue filling your heart and your mouth with His Word. I spent the better part of the night, the other night, I just turned on the Word, and I set that phone right here by my shoulder, and I was polite. I didn't have it up loud. I didn't want to wake the puppies. And I looked. Perhaps your mountain is a broken relationship. Can I tell you, pray for wisdom. Walk in forgiveness. Choose words that agree with Scripture instead of words that deepen that division. Allow the love of Christ to govern your actions and your speech. Perhaps your mountain is financial lack. Can I tell you, seek God's wisdom in your decisions. Work diligently with what He has placed in your hands. Refuse to let despair become your confession. Remember that your provider is the Lord. And you continue to trust Him while walking faithfully in the responsibilities He has given to you. Don't stop giving. Don't stop giving. And if you haven't been, start today. It'd be a good day. You can give your way out of a situation. Perhaps your mountain is disappointment. Doors have closed. Plans have changed. The future seems uncertain. Listen, do not measure God's faithfulness by today's circumstance. Measure your circumstances by the unchanging character of Almighty God. His promises have never changed. Guess what? His Word has never failed. His faithfulness has not diminished at any time in our lives. And that's why Jesus said, have faith in God. He did not say, have faith in your feelings. Well, I just don't feel very good today. Well, go ahead and just have faith in that. No. He did not say, have faith in your unfavorable circumstances. No. Because it's not always going to be good things happening. He said, have faith in God. And guess what? That instruction remains the foundation of everything else that He taught in our lives. The authority to speak to the mountain never begins with us. It always begins with Him. The confidence to speak never comes from human strength. It comes from knowing the One who cannot lie. so the believer who continually fills his heart with God's word will gradually find that his speech begins then to agree with God's promises rather than with fear. And guess what? That's not pretending that problems do not exist. That is choosing to let God's truth become greater than the obstacle standing before you. So this morning, the mountain again may still appear large. It appeared large before Zerubbabel. But here comes God. Here comes God. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt be made a plain. Listen, the mountain may still appear impossible. It appeared impossible before the disciples as they faced persecution after Christ's resurrection. Yet they continued trusting and obeying the Lord. Your mountain may still seem immovable, but Jesus Christ has not changed. His words in Mark 11 then remain as true today as the day he first spoke them. Our confidence as a believer then rests in the unchanging word of the unchanging Christ. Remember this, faith is not passive. Faith acts. Faith obeys. Faith speaks because faith believes. And that's the message of Mark 11. That's the lesson of the withered fig tree. That's the encouragement that every believer needs when standing before a mountain that seems impossible to move. Your mountain is not greater than the Word of God. Stand upon His promises. Pray with confidence. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Speak in agreement with truth. Walk in obedience to His word. Trust Him completely and leave the results in His hands. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Stand on His word. Continue to speak in agreement with His promises. This one last thing. Remember that you're a son or a daughter of the King, and He's waiting to respond to whatever your need is. The throne room is open to you 24/7. Don't let the enemy hold you back one more day. You speak to the mountain and have faith in God. Amen? All right. We're going to make time. We're going to let the Holy Ghost do some work here this morning. Amen? Would you come? Let's gather down here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sit there on the front if you need to. Hallelujah. Come on, sister. Help her down here. Let's put a chair right here for Sister Michelle. Can we help you down there? Can we help you up here? Come on. Go ahead, Brother Tony. Help her down here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sister Patty, we're going to stand for Sister Nelda today. Hallelujah. All right. Can you grab a chair there, Sister Lydia? Yeah, there you go. Bring it up here. Help her up here. Come on. It's important. Put that chair right over here. Right here. Face me. All right. Right there. Hallelujah. We're going to deal with this mountain. How's that? Enemy wants to keep us down. Did y'all know that? We're going to be okay. Mr. Michelle, the Lord's going to do something for you today. Brother Roy, come. get our